1 o'clock, straight up. So, for the record, it is 1 o'clock p.m. on October 23rd, 2017, and I am opening up the public hearing for comment on the proposed business enterprise rules. Right now we have nobody on the phone and we have one audience member. Kathy Colley-Dominique is in the audience and has said that she is not going to provide public comment today. So we are going to patiently wait for someone to show up, and I would say we'll give it 10, 15 minutes, and if nobody shows up, then we will adjourn the meeting. And as always, the public has been notified of this meeting. The public also can comment and submit comments till 5 o'clock today. So, we'll just wait for a few minutes. If we have somebody else show up, we'll go over the ground rules of this hearing and talk a little bit about the proposed rules that are being proposed. And Kathy, the recorders are recording over here by the phone. So, just FYI. Well, while we're sitting here, why don't I go over the ground rules of this hearing? This will give us a little bit of time to have something going on while we're sitting here. So the ground rules are: this meeting, this hearing, is for the public to provide input on the proposed business enterprise rules. The agency and myself will not be answering questions today because this meeting is to hear from the public and the public's comments on the proposed rules. The proposed rules are under the Oregon Commission for the Blind's rules divisions, and they include several actions, which I'll read from the notice of proposed rulemaking that was posted out. That says, this rulemaking repeals the Business Enterprise Program Rules and Regulations, which is Oregon Administrative Rules 585-010-0015, and establishes a new division, Division 15, which is the Business Enterprise Program, which includes 12 individual program-specific rules. Comprehensive language and content additions and revisions have been made to all of the program rules. Additional rules have been added as mandated by the 2017 House Bill 3253, including rules that define full-time employment, rates of set-aside to be charged, and available set-aside discount incentives, and definitions of healthy and local vending items. So the new rules under Division 15 include, starting at 585-015-000, starts with the purpose, then steps to the next one at 0005, which is definitions. 0010 is licensing, 0015 is vacancies, 0020 is set-aside funds, 0025 is responsibilities, 0030 is Business Enterprise Consumer Committee, 0035 is dispute resolution, 0040 is vending machine income, and 0045 is statement of full-time employment, 0050 is subcontracting, and the last in this rules division, 585-015-0055, is fair minimum return. This rulemaking also repeals previously what was referred to as the handbook, which is Oregon Administrative Rule 585-010-0015. That's repealed. As part of the ground rules, anybody testifying today should give their full name, full address, and their affiliation with the Business Enterprise Program. So that is my opening statement and the ground rules for this hearing. So we're still waiting for somebody else to arrive that wishes to testify and provide comment on the rules. And it's about 6 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock on the 23rd of October. Oh, I was also going to make the part of the ground rules that each person testifying would have 10 minutes to provide public comment today, and I did not mention that. Good afternoon. Who just joined us?
Randy Howe just joined.
Hi, Randy. It's Eric.
Hey, Eric.
So, were you going to want to testify today?
People are confused, is what I can tell you. I don't know if different times went out or not, but I know I've been getting calls wondering what time the meeting was, so that's probably why there's not much on. I don't know why that is. I'm just sharing with you. I've been contacted today by a couple of people, not sure. So, anyway, so what was your question, Aaron?
So were you going to provide testimony today?
Yeah, I think I'm going to provide testimony.
Okay, give me one second. I just want to close the door because we're getting a lot of noise outside. So stand by one second. Then.
Sure.
So, Randy, when we started the meeting, I went over the ground rules of the meeting. It's very similar to the fiscal impact meeting we had a couple weekends ago. This hearing is to provide an opportunity for the public to provide public comment on the proposed rules. So the way I've set it up is everybody will get 10 minutes to provide testimony, and then if they also have written documentation, we'll obviously accept that. So just let me know when you're ready, and we'll set the timer.
Sure. Has there been any testimony so far?
There has not.
Okay. And when is written testimony provided up until, do you know?
5 p.m. tonight.
5 p.m. tonight. Okay. So, yeah. Well, anyway, I will start if you want me to, and I will share with you that there have been a multitude of concerns relevant to the process of the rulemaking and as well content contained within the rules. I know that you're aware the elected committee took a position several days past to not only object to the rules that are currently identified as the draft VEP rules, but also doing that through our Rehabilitation Services Administration, but also identifying through an elected committee meeting that there were a multitude of concerns. I do know that there's been a concern with the notice and the way that the notice identified the filing of the rules, and there's also been a concern around the, as you know, the fiscal impact notice as well. So I just wanted to identify that I understand it is the commission's prerogative to extend the timeline for the rules and the rulemaking process, I believe, not being an expert on that matter, but trying to understand it through reading through the rule process. I would just encourage the agency to do so and to continue working with the elected committee of blind vendors. And I know this is more encompassing than the elected committee of blind vendors. However, the elected committee of blind vendors, as you know, plays a very integral part and should play a very integral part in that. And so I would just encourage the agency to continue and allow for and support continued discussions and look at the comments that were brought forward by Terry Smith, who was a facilitator and provided comment on the rules, also by Susan Gashel, Randall Shepard, expert, well-known across the land, provided some comment. Also, the elected committee of blind vendors provided some comment relative to the proposed rules. So, you know, at this point, I believe that is where I am with this project, and do not believe that the rules, even though they're under a timeline, should be pushed forward if they are not, if there's concerns around those rules, which apparently there are. And so I just, again, respectfully request that the agency consider that. The operating agreement is certainly a concern. The lack of priority language is certainly a concern. The administrative hearings process or the due process is certainly a concern, along with some other identifiers that have been provided. And as well, there was a review done recently of the rules by licensed attorney Ronnie Hurd on behalf of some licensed blind vendors and on behalf of myself as well as the licensed blind vendors. And I'll be submitting that along today prior to 5 o'clock in writing. So I think that's that pretty much sums it up, and I do appreciate the opportunity to get that. So.
Thank you, Randy.
Yep, you're welcome.
Did somebody else join us on the phone?
Linda Huseman.
Hi, Linda. How are you today?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Good. Hey, so I wasn't sure if you heard what I was telling Randy. I did a little introduction at the top of the hour, but basically we're giving everybody 10 minutes to provide public comment on the proposed rules. And if you wanted to go ahead and provide a comment, just let me know and I'll start the timer.
Yes, I'd like to provide a comment.
All right, whenever you're ready.
Okay, my name is Linda Huseman, and for the record, I'm an interested stakeholder of the Commission for the Blind and have been for a period of time now, and I also recently served on the Fiscal Impact Committee that was convened, I believe, Saturday ago. Anyways, a couple of comments that I'd like to make for the record of this hearing is, first of all, I am extremely concerned with that the rules making process has indicated that there was a rules advisory, so that was posted incorrectly as a notice to the public, which I think creates a big question mark in the process as a whole, and it should have been marked correctly, which it wasn't. And at some point in time, the BCC has been told a variety of things. First, they were the Rule Advisory Committee. Then they weren't the Rule Advisory Committee. They were a collaborative committee. Actually, they might have started out as a collaborative. Then they were told they were a Rule Advisory. Then they were told they were collaborative and that the form was marked wrong. So the public is unclear from that rule notice, in my opinion, as to was there a Rule Advisory Committee or not. So then, of course, the Fiscal Impact Committee had to be convened. And I stand on the premise that the fiscal impact that was listed on the rule advisory notice that was posted, the rule notice that was posted is invalid. There was, for instance, it indicated that I believe it said something to the effect that there would be no supplies or equipment needed for this, and I don't believe that's correct if these rules are implemented, especially with the limitation statement in the rules tied to subcontracting supplies and equipment, as I believe I articulated through the Fiscal Impact Committee, clearly shows that there will be needed monies for this and equipment and supplies. I am extremely concerned and remain concerned about the operating agreement. It's in understanding a variety of other states, it doesn't seem like the operating agreement should be have a time limit on it of 2 years. I haven't liked or never thought that it was proper for it to have a 1 year. I clearly don't understand just extending it to 2 years. I think it's a waste of staff resources, and I think it doesn't meet the requirement of the Randall-Shepard Act. I've actually even been told in person by one of the RSA individuals at a conference a couple of years ago that those operating agreements should be perpetual. So I, as a stakeholder, cannot support anything that doesn't, that takes away staff resources and also causes possibly a license to not even have an effect of a license. And I think that's what the operating agreement does, having a limit on it. Another concern I have, and I think I mentioned it earlier, is there is, I know that this bill, because I watched it very carefully, was a part of a lot of the hearings as far as watching them online when they were happening. The legislators very clearly intended this to grow the program, and I want to see that happen. I'm not sure when I look through the rules, what I see right now is a whole bunch of controls on the licensed line managers. I'm not seeing exactly how that this program is going to grow from these rules. When you start putting limitations, you start putting due process requirements, you start putting a whole bunch of other ways to terminate somebody, you put in requirements for a variety of just controls, it starts restricting a program rather than letting it have the wings it should. And I see what happened in this as I read through it, very, very much a control over the licensed line managers rather than trying to give them the wings and the flexibility that the legislators intended this to have to grow the program. And I think when you don't, when you try and only do one business model, and that would be for the commission to try and supply the equipment, I think you're going to end up exactly where it ended up quite a few years ago, where the commission will not have the funds. You're dealing with a situation where you're relying on every biennium budget as to whether the funds will or won't be there to help support a program, rather than creating a variety of business models through the training process and having individuals pick as individual business people what model will work for their best business and allowing that to be flexible and creative based off each person. And I know that was a factor for the legislators. I know I even heard Representative Kenny Geyer say, oh, well, what I'm hearing is this is not a one-size-fits-all. And if you guys are trying to make this a one-size-fits-all, which I believe is trying to happen through the rules, it's going to be not the intent of the legislature, and I can only support what the intent of the legislature was, which is to grow this program, make it flexible, have it be a program-friendly process, and the rules should not be distracting from what the intent of the legislature was. So I think with that, I'll conclude before my time, and somebody else can have the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. We had somebody else join us on the phone. Was there anybody else on the phone that wanted to provide testimony today? Or maybe somebody dropped off. All right. Well, we'll wait for a few more minutes and see if anybody else joins us. Good afternoon. Somebody just joined us on the phone.
Yeah, this is Art Evenson.
Hi, Art. Good afternoon. Eric Morris here. Today's hearing is for public comment on the proposed business enterprise rules. We're giving everybody 10 minutes to provide comment. The agency isn't answering any questions today, similar to the Fiscal Impact Committee. And if you'd like to provide testimony today, just let me know and we'll get this time clock going.
So has everybody else already testified?
Yep, we've had two people testify.
Oh, okay. Because there seemed to be some miscommunications. A lot of people thought this was supposed to be at 5 o'clock today. So, anyways. Most definitely want to give public testimony.
So Art, if you could just give us your full name, address, and your affiliation, and we'll get the clock going.
All right. Well, my name is Art Stevenson. I am a blind licensed manager in the vending program. I am also a member of the American Council of the Blind, of Oregon. I guess that's all the information I need to put on the record as far as that goes. So you let me know when I can start my public testimony.
You may begin when you're ready.
Okay. Well, anyways, first let me say that I've been a blind license manager in the vending program for 31 years. I've been a part of this program, and currently the program in Oregon has had a lot of controversy concerning the administration of the program, and I've been very active in trying to make sure that the program was run in accordance with the Federal Randolph-Shepard Act, and that this program in Oregon was putting as many blind people to work as possible. That has not occurred in the state of Oregon. Now we're at a point where we're rewriting rules to administer the program under the Federal Randolph-Shepard Act and our state mini Randolph-Shepard Act. I'm very concerned about these rules because they are not complete. They most definitely, in my opinion, are not in compliance with the federal regs, and actually was intricately involved in getting an evaluation of these current rules by a national expert. Her name was Susan Gashwell. She's an attorney, a current attorney, who does a lot of things concerning the Randolph-Shepard vending program, including working for state agencies to make sure that federal agencies are adhering to the Federal Randolph-Shepard Act, and also as an attorney to protect the rights of blind license managers throughout the country. Susan, of course, was an attorney general, representative in the state of Hawaii, and was very intricate in making sure that that program was run correctly under the Randolph-Shepard Act, and was creating jobs for blind license managers, and also that the rules were written in a way to protect the blind license manager's right and make sure that the agency was, the state licensing agency was acquiring as many locations to put blind people to work. So anyways, she did an evaluation on our current proposed rules and found lots of violations of the federal Randolph-Shepard Act. Currently, the Oregon Commission for the Blind does have that evaluation. However, has chosen at this time not to rewrite the rules to ensure compliance of the federal law and to protect the rights of the blind license managers. Also, I would like to say that these current rules have not been okayed by the Department of Rehabilitation Services, RSA, and therefore, moving forward in adopting these rules, quite frankly, is a violation of the law, because the state licensing agency is not supposed to promulgate rules or put forth rules that have not been given the blessing of the Department of Education, Department of Rehabilitation Services, to make sure that they are in compliance with federal law. I also would like to say that I'm a member of the elected committee, and these rules were basically not written under the true definition of active participation. There was not good faith negotiations with the elected committee in promulgating these rules. Basically, suggestions and recommendations were made by the elected committee and completely, basically ignored, and the agency basically wrote the rules to say what they wanted them to say, not necessarily to do what the intent of this program is, and that is to put blind people to work and create jobs for blind people. I would also like to say that these rules are not in compliance with the state statutes, which says the state licensing agency will promulgate rules to ensure the proper and satisfactory operation of vending facilities and for the benefit of the blind license managers of this program. I contend that these rules have been written by the agency to do what they want the program to do, not necessarily what the program was intended to do, and that's put more blind people to work here in the state of Oregon. I also would like to say that RSA has commented on the fact of what active participation is, and it's more than just an advisory committee, which has been put forth by several experts in the program. Terry Smith, who ran a successful vending program in the state of Tennessee for years and years, and now he is running the BEI, which is a group that tries to help state licensing agencies and the managers and the elected committee work efficiently and effectively in the different states throughout this country. So active participation in these rules are not spelled out at the definition as it should be. And elected committee involvement in these proposed rules is bare bones. It isn't truly a joint effort by the state licensing agency. It's more basically the agency is more dictatorial and doesn't allow the blind license managers in the program to be independent entrepreneurs and make decisions which would be best for their individual locations. Let me see. Also, I would like to state that these current rules do not put forth any avenues or, for the state licensing agency to ensure compliance to the state law and to the federal law, and making the program grow. The CFRs, the Code of Federal Regulations, set forth how the state licensing agency will make sure adherence to the federal program and federal locations. However, the Oregon Commission for the Blind has not, in these proposed rules, promulgated them to ensure compliance by
entities. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did somebody else join us on the line that wanted to provide testimony today?
This is Jean Marie Moore, and I just got here, and I plan to write my testimony because I think I can express myself more clearly in writing. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Moore. Was there anybody else on the phone that wanted to provide testimony today? All right, well, with that being said, with no other takers, then I'll go ahead and close the hearing for oral testimony. As I said previously, written testimony will be accepted through 5 p.m. today as posted in the notice, and we welcome that either online or via the U.S. mail. So thank you for everybody for testifying today, and have a good day.